This is the May 7 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Ed Dunn of Strategic Farm Marketing from right here in Champaign County, Greg Ginder of FC Stone out of Chesterfield, Missouri, and Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media located here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Find us online at WILLpaging.org. That's willag.org. Now, let's start our conversation. Ed Dunn, your list of items to discuss for the day.
I'm sure this one's everybody's, you know, what do I do with my old corn? That's still number one. Yeah, absolutely. You know, outside of that, when's this thing going to turn around? You know, we're taking all the weather premium out of it, so when's this thing going to turn?
That'll do. Greg Ginder, how about from you?
I would utter the same thing, the farmer trying to figure out if he's needing to pull the cord on the chute and just dump his old crop and maybe a little bit of basis. I just had an intercompany conference call, and they were telling me about what planting and that looked like across most of the Midwest. So if we wanted to hit on planting or, when this board might turn around, where it might turn around, or if it might turn around, so... That's about all I got.
Why are you laughing, Dan?
that's a pretty broad brush. If it might, maybe it will, or will it can't?
Yeah. All the answers are it all depends.
Yeah, everything depends upon Mother Nature. I mean, everything's down to what the growing season's going to be like. And the critical part, of course, is still going to be July and August, and we'll take it from there, I guess.
All right, Greg, I want to come back to you. Let's talk about planting progress. We get, of course, updates from USDA each Monday, and farmers had a big week last week. I suspect they've had a really good week again this week. What are you hearing from across the nation?
I would say that this week has been another good week for majority of the growing area, for sure. I think Missouri got quite a bit of progress done. I think they've been one of the slower to get everything in the ground, along with, say, Indiana and Ohio. But, yeah, generally speaking, it was a real good week. We're starting to see some rains roll across Missouri right now. And it's starting to cloud up, darken up a little bit. So what did get in the ground is going to get a halfway decent shower on it. Progress-wise, we kind of think that corn in Missouri is fairly well in the ground. Beans might be a little bit different story. We're probably looking at maybe 20-25% on Missouri beans. Southern Illinois is probably in the same boat. Most of the corn has got in the ground. But, yeah, it is... those are definitely the areas right now that are struggling a little bit.
Ed, does your shop still have kind of a roundtable update of what crop progress and condition look like too?
Yes, we do. We haven't started our conference calls. We don't start that till May 21st. But we did participate in one kind of sponsored by one of the insurance companies we deal with. We've got another one tomorrow, so this came out middle of last week. So I don't have a nationwide progress report for you, Todd, but, right here through the heart of Illinois, I don't know that there's much corn left to go, and I got a lot of guys who are going to be done with beans by Saturday. So, all in all, when we look at the different states and where things are, I know that the East is struggling. A guy I talked to in the Lafayette area today, he's begrudgingly done with corn, but he's actually switching some of his corn acres to beans just because of the economics as much as anything else.
Let's switch topics real quick. We'll come back to new crop a bit later, but maybe we better deal with old crop corn. There are bins full of old crop corn, apparently still in the United States. That's clear by the numbers that have come from USDA. And Dan, as you mentioned Thursday afternoon on the closing market report, you think there may be even more corn around than what USDA is saying. And I don't know whether you're saying that you believe that or whether you think the trade believes that. You talked about another couple hundred million. Which is the case? Do you believe it?
I think you have to, I suppose, you know, when you look at that March 31st number and look at the implications of that, it does say that feed usage is not going as fast as what USDA has got plugged into the balance sheet. Now, I know the other side of the argument is that this year may be different, and we may be feeding larger amounts of corn during the second half of the year than what we normally do because we're, you know, in the expansion phase of livestock and whatnot. But, you know, we've had a lot of problems here with this bird flu situation in Iowa. I know that's generally a small potato. But when you talk to anybody in the trade, the trade feels fairly comfortable that the current year ending stocks are much closer to 2 billion bushels than what USDA has on the balance sheet. So most of your private guys, I think, at least the ones that I talk to in the commercial grain trade side of the equation, believe that we got 2 billion bushels worth of ending stocks. And that's just going to be a real drag on the market. And I do know that, you know, farmers do own, I don't know how much they own, but you know, there's a lot of them that still have corn to move into the marketplace. And it's pretty difficult to sell it at these levels, but basis levels are improving some. And we're going to see that. I guess my initial reaction is let's see what USDA does with the balance sheets on Tuesday. Let's see how the market reacts to them. I got maybe an ounce of hope. From a cyclical point of view, looking at some of my cycles, there is a shot that this market might want to try to rally into middle June, late June. But that means that it's probably going to have to be driven by some kind of weather issue. And I think the thing that I'm watching to see whether or not these rains that have been forecast for the last 10 days, they're finally going to move across the Corn Belt. We'll see what kind of coverages and amounts are actually there or if they come in on the light side. I think that would be a trendsetter for me. If they come in as forecast, I think that tells me that we're probably going to have a pretty good crop. But if they don't, it tells me that maybe the overall weather pattern may be much drier than what the trade really would like to work into the marketplace.
Because I have Dan at the mouth of the Mississippi and Greg in St. Louis, one to watch what actually is going out through the export market and one watching what's going down the river. Maybe, Greg, I can start with you. I think the export situation normally goes this way, that at this time of year we would be pretty much done with soybeans. So if there is barge traffic, it probably should be corn. I don't know seasonally how much corn ships at this time. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and sure. If this year differs very much from your point of view.
I would say, well, just a quick note on beans, and I would say you're pretty much right on. The only thing that we're seeing as far as bean barge traffic is coming out of the northern producing states and being unloaded at, say, Quincy, Illinois, or Cairo, Illinois, to some of the processors that can unload barges. They're not necessarily making it all the way to the Gulf, like you said, because it's seasonally not necessarily a U.S. soybean export period. But yeah, I would say corn is the lion's share of the barge traffic going into the Gulf for sure. The corn export program it looks good. I think we're on pace to be at or near or really close to what the USDA is using as a demand figure for export. So yeah, I would I would absolutely agree with that, Todd.
And Dan, at the mouth of the Mississippi, is demand for corn remaining strong?
It's as expected. Nothing new has really shown up. It's pretty much of as expected, steady buyers, routine buyers. Nothing to get excited about, but there is, you know, some demand there. You can see that with this week's export sales did come in a little better than kind of what the trade was looking at. But, you know, it's really not enough to move the needle. That is the biggest problem, is that, you know, people probably look at the export market. Yes, it's there, it's steady. We're on course to meet USA's projections, but it's not moved the needle any on tightening up overall supplies.
So we'll come back to you, Ed Dunn. What do we do with old crop corn? You asked the question, so I'd like an answer from you.
Well, I would say that right now, myself and the office as a whole, we're not extremely bearish corn prices in the short term. For that reason, and like was mentioned earlier, basis levels are at pretty good levels for this time of year with the amount of corn we have on hand, because the farmer's not selling, he's in the field. We like the idea of going ahead and setting the basis versus July. I know in this area we're 8 to 10 under July. There's probably some overs in different parts, but we like the idea of going ahead and setting a basis on it. If a guy wants to start hauling as soon as he's done with planting, he can. Fill the basis contract. The elevator will advance you 75-80% cash if you need that for whatever reason. And then, you know, we're kind of looking for 25 or 30 cent pop here, whether it be a weather-driven thing, whether it be demand-driven, maybe we're oversold, technical, combination of all three. Give us that opportunity for that bounce and then go ahead and lock that in. Because if we see, you know, our opinion is we see a 25 or 30 cent rally in futures, you're going to lose maybe 25 or 30% of that rally in basis, because the elevator is going to see corn coming out of everywhere. So that's our initial reaction. I'm not super excited about, you know, selling, you know, out of the money puts or anything, because I still got to respect the downside. So that's really the base thing, Todd, is we're looking at setting basis contracts on old corn.
And then Greg Ginder, you put it as dump old crop corn, but I think that was a question mark. And are you of that mind?
Well, let's just put it this way. I mean, we kind of look at it as a standpoint of cash flow. I mean, we don't really expect a great drop in the corn market. I mean, where I don't expect to see new lows, but anything and everything you seem to read or hear is definitely not overly friendly. So we're looking at a weather market rally or some sort of wheat-driven fund short liquidation, you know, Russian-Ukrainian rally that will pull corn up by the bootstraps. So I guess our opinion is more of to lean into this market, lean into this good basis and the board where it is as it is. And if somebody is really a true optimist or wants to participate in the upside, do more of a call spread, whether it be a $4 strike or something closer to the money. But that's, you know, if we can spend a dime or 15 cents getting some sort of upside potential participation, you know, I think we'd just take it where it is now and kind of hope to participate in one way or the other.
It looks, Greg, like most of the trade, at least on the midpoint, is looking forward to a carryout for the 2015-16 crop year. For corn, about 60 to 70 million bushels less than for this year. Does that change the needle for new crop very much in the coming months?
Boy, it seems like a drop in the bucket when you look at it as a whole. I would hope so. I do. I am optimistic going into the new crop marketing year. But it is going to be one of those things where it's going to be what's a bigger question, you know, is it going to be the demand or the overwhelming supply. And thus far, it's been a case of demand has kept up its end of the deal and supply has dwindled some from what we came into the marketing year this year with. But, you know, that's going to be the push and pull of it.
Hey, Dan, would you term this as overwhelming supply at 1.8 to 2 billion bushels?
It's overwhelming in the sense that as long as we got a new crop coming and it looks good, it's overwhelming. Now, if you get yourself into some kind of weather concern, and I think it could be, you know, I think, you know, everybody's probably too optimistic on the yield. I guess I'm just going to look at last year as an outlier where we spiked it up real high. We've done that the past every 10 years, did it in 04 and we did it in 94. And then we fall back to something more trend line. And if the thing that I think is since the market was breaking during the planting season, that sure didn't encourage any additional corn acres. Whereas last year the market was rallying, so it was encouraging people to plant. So this year it's the opposite. So, I mean, I think it could very well, we could end up with a much smaller corn planting than what the trade kind of has got plugged into their balance sheets. And if the national average yield would fall back to 163, which would not be a disaster by no means, we've got a much different balance sheet on the table. Now, one thing I think we need to keep in mind this year is that the lateness of planting that we are experiencing in the southern Corn Belt, basically the Ohio River Valley and further south, means that we're not going to have much August corn come to the market. We're not going to have any early corn come out of the south. Now, I know the growing season and growing degree days, we'll have to see how that plays out. But usually we start getting corn coming into the old crop marketing year around first part of August coming out of Mississippi and Arkansas, and that's not going to happen this year. So the people that are holding old crop corn up here in the northern Corn Belt, they may have better pricing opportunities as we go down the road than maybe than one would initially think, especially if we got ourselves into somewhat of a weather scare, that they would have an opportunity to unload that, you know, 20 or 30 cents higher. But I'm not necessarily predicting that. Last year was one of those perfect years. My guess this year will, somewhere along the line here, we're going to spook out the shorts. What does it? I don't know, but I would think that would happen. But farmers would have to be ready to take advantage of that. And just like the one suggestion is maybe lock in your basis levels with these current basis levels the way they are, and then put an offer in at your elevator that if you get a 20 cent pop, that, you know, it goes down the river. So, that would be one strategy to do on at least an increment of your old crop corn, maybe not all of it, but at least that would be one way to play it, because I do think that you'll get some kind of pop in here, and it's going to come when nobody expects it. And that's why you got to have some offers in. And then if you've got your basis locked in, you would be able to kind of take advantage of that pop, whatever that is.
Hey, Greg, do you suppose, given the lateness, the true lateness of that Delta region corn crop that Dan discussed, that spreads the time out. It gives producers in this part of the world, 15, maybe 20 days more to market their crop. And you can argue about whether there be a pop or whether it's just length, I suppose.
Well, it'll certainly be a basis. I think it'd be more of a basis-related issue, and I think he's pretty much dead on. I think it buys you as many weeks as they were late to get into the field. It buys you that many weeks of potentially selling a supported basis number in that August, early September time slot. So certainly that will be, if it is, if it's an opportunity, it'll certainly be there.
Okay. So I think I've heard all three of you, and maybe disagree here if I'm wrong, but all three of you have said, make sure you take advantage of current day's basis now. Lock it in, right?
Not necessarily on your whole inventory. I don't know what your inventory is, but I don't like to do a whole hog on anything. But it is a solution. It is something to kind of play here, you know, on half of your inventory or a third of your inventory. It is an option to try to play for it. And if that pans out and we do get the rally, then you have that rally then to pull a trigger on another third of your increment or something like that. But you do have to have something thought out here that if and when it comes, that you're not deer in the headlights and you pull the trigger, you know, because it's going to be important for you to get rid of the old crop so your bins are empty. So then you can, you know, at least initially store your early harvested grain. And it wouldn't surprise me that we'd have another fall rally looking at some of my cycles. So I think pricing opportunities for new crop could be better down the road than what they could be here over the next 30 days.
Todd, I would throw in there, I agree with that. And on top of the cycle side that Dan is referring to, I think there could be some demand reasons underlying here. Again, follow-up from our conference call we had last week with several others. But, you know, with the lower fuel prices, you know, gasoline demand, they're talking a 4-5% increase in usage here in the United States. You start throwing the numbers together, that's almost 100 million bushels towards ethanol demand versus year before because of the price decline. Mexico has been exporting more sorghum. That means more U.S. corn coming in. Saudi Arabia, some of these other countries are making some changes. Ukraine grain production's down. There's a definite opportunity for 400 to 500 million bushels of increased demand that I'm sure the USDA and the trade's not really ready for yet. And you add that together, I would agree with Dan that we've got a good opportunity for higher prices later, but we've got that big bad bear hanging over on the other side right now, and that's all this farmer-owned corn that's going to make a rally this summer, if it's not weather-driven, pretty difficult. But if we get into the fall time, we could actually see where we rally. The other side, Todd, to the whole do we sell now in the new crop, we have to think about the farm bill and crop insurance. You know, the farm bill, we've got prices with these corn at 375 and cash corn at 350. That certainly generates a PLC payment for anybody looking there. When you look at an ARC program, 350, you know, national average farmer price generates money. And when you look at what the February price was for crop insurance at 415, if a producer took 85% coverage, 85% of 415 is 352 futures. So at 375, and you're going, well, I've got protection from 352 and lower on an average crop, you kind of ask yourself, what's my incentive in being aggressive on selling corn here? So I think you kind of throw all these factors in there, and it tells you being patient is probably an okay thing to do right now.
Hey, by the way, another 500 million bushels in usage, that's way better than 60 or 70 million that the trade is looking for in the WASDE numbers.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, the other thing I hear, too, is that I think there's been a lot of grain bins sold this winter. So I think we're going to see a significant jump in farmer own storage go up this summer. So I do think once the planters stop here, you're going to start seeing grain bins being built all over the Corn Belt. And farmers are going to have to be able to use storage, their own storage, and they're going to have to use hedges and capture carry and basis narrowing, because the margins, at least in the near term, look like the margins in the grain industry is going to be pretty skinny. So farmers with storage and with the knowledge and the capability of managing a hedge position are going to probably end up much better in the long run than the ones that can't.
Okay, switch to new crop soybeans. What do we do at this point, Greg? And we'll start with you.
Well, I'm always pretty friendly on beans. Beans, in my opinion, out of the three row crops, are by far the, in my opinion, have the most optimistic balance sheet. China, as you know,
you would be very unusual in that viewpoint.
I feel like you know, when you look at the world demand for protein, maybe not just whole beans but also bean meal. I mean, it is continuing to grow, and it appears by all standards that it will continue to grow at a rate that will still require additional supply to be met. So I'm friendly. I really do believe that beans kind of, to me, for the next year, kind of hold the key to higher prices on all the grains. So I would be a fan of putting beans away. And well, and like last year, it was the same thing. It was, you know, we didn't think there was going to be much of a bean rally because we were sitting on 450 carryout, but you know, we still traded higher shortly after harvest. So, I mean, there's opportunities there, and there always will be, and there is going to be a continued and always renewed interest in bean meal. So that's kind of where I take my bullish sense from.
You didn't mention bean oil, Dan. Any opportunities that you see in new crop soybeans at all, whether that be fundamentally or from your technical work?
Well, I mean, soybean oil sales were fantastic here this morning. So we do have, it does seem like the world appetite for vegetable oil, that demand clock seems to be picking up in here. Now, beans are an interesting commodity this year. I mean, there have been, you know, I don't know how many traders that if you were to talk to them back in January, February, after the South American crop looked like it was pretty well sealed and dealed, talking $8 soybeans, you know, and here it is, almost the middle of May, and we're still ain't at $8 soybeans. And actually, soybeans have been gaining on corn over the past couple of months, which is, I don't know if that's telling us that corn plantings are going to be, you know, that we're going to have much larger corn plantings and the market is beginning to worry about soybean plantings. I don't know really what's going on, but it's really strange how beans have really gained on corn. Because longer term, I'm convinced that corn is going to gain on soybeans, but I'm talking 12 to 18 months down the road, I think we'll be at 2-1. Now, like I said, are we going to be at $4 corn and $8 beans, or are we going to be at $5 corn and $10 soybeans, or, you know, maybe $2 corn and $4 soybeans? I don't know.
Well, that last one would hurt.
But I do believe corn is going to gain on soybeans somewhere here down the road, but obviously we're not ready for it. And, you know, we can talk all kinds of scenarios. It's still going to be July, August weather, and how the crops basically fare during that 60-day window. I think last year was just one of those years that we just went through the top because of those August and September rains, just added bushels and added bean pods and just took the yields right on through the roof. I don't think that's going to be the case this year. And before it's all over with, we're going to be dealing with much smaller crops than what the trade has got penciled in their balance sheets.
I'm with Dan on that one, Todd. I do think that we're at the top side of crops right here. We had just a perfect growing conditions in 2014, never threatened it, never scared it, and I just don't see that happening in back-to-back years. I'm also with Dan in that we could get to a 2-1 ratio. maybe a little bit quicker than a year out. It might even be happening by Thanksgiving time, because I'm not as wildly friendly the bean market as I am. I think beans can hold together, maybe move 30, 40, 50 cents, where I think corn demand materializes like we think, and we don't see the perfect growing conditions like we had in 2014, and we get carryover, you know, down into that, you know, billion two carry spot instead of a $1.8 billion. I think we could see, you know, corn futures above 450, and 450 to 480 area, and beans being in that maybe $10 area, just slightly below 10. But as far as where I would target, you know, beans, I think there's going to be an opportunity at some point with some weather scarcity to again get flat price in that $9.80 to $10 for the farmer out of the field. And I think that's an area that they need to look at. And we're probably 30 cents away, 30 or 40 cents away from that right now.
That's Ed Dunn with Strategic Farm Marketing out of Champaign, Illinois. Our other panelists today included Greg Ginder of FC Stone from Chesterfield, Missouri, and Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises out of Mandeville, Louisiana. Please do visit our website at willag.org, willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. That wraps up this May 7 edition of Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.